able to enjoy his presence and his spirit in this place. What a mighty God we serve. If you have your Bibles tonight, we turn to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1. Book of Psalms chapter 1. Welcome to the house of the Lord tonight. I give honor to our God, who is mighty, who is excellent. I give honor to our pastor and Sister Linda, their leadership, and just the leadership of this church. This is a great church. This is a great church. And God has got great things in store for us in these last days before he comes back for us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. Psalms chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And for a few moments tonight, I've entitled this Bible lesson, The Way of the Righteous. The Way of the Righteous. Let's just pray and ask God to touch our hearts and our minds that we would receive his word tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we want to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name, open our hearts, our minds, oh Lord. We receive, we hear from you tonight. Change us, cleanse us with your word, oh Lord. Wash our hearts and our minds with your word. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord God, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, blessed is the man. The singular Hebrew word for man is used here to portray a representative example of a godly person. Blessed means it's basically like being the object of God's affection and attention. A blessed man or a blessed person by what he does is blessed by what he does not do rather than by what he does. The word of God makes a pronounced distinction between who is considered blessed and who is not. It is completely different from the world's definition of who they consider to be blessed. The individual who has the largest bank account does not win this race. The person who contributes the most to charity is not considered the blessed person. Material blessings does not mean favor with God. At the same time, material blessings and favor with God don't have to be mutually exclusive. We can have it all, and we should have it all as children of God. All that God has for us. The blessed man's guidance does not depend on worldly knowledge. The counsel he heeds, the path he follows, of the office he occupies are not limited to the doomed and futile fashion makers of the world. The blessed are not driven by the world's definition of success. Their directions come from on high. The blessed man is defined first by what he does not do, because in saying no to worldly voices, he is saying no to his own wisdom, his own sense of being wise enough to choose between those voices. The word ungodly in the Psalms usually refers to people who act without a fear of God and who take advantage of other people who are weaker than themselves. That's the ungodly. The ungodly will do everything in their power to climb the corporate ladder and pursue the American dream. They will scratch and claw their way to positions of notoriety and power. And in so doing, they break that great royal law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. We need to make sure that God is leading and guiding us. Be careful not to rely on the counsel of this world. We need to make sure that our direction comes from God. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Back in the book of Psalms, and this is what we just read, Bible talks about walking in the way of the ungodly, and then it goes on to say standing in the way of sinners. And before our own faith was called Christianity, it was called the way. Acts 24:14, the apostle Paul, when he stood before Felix and he was being questioned by the governor, said, but this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So the way of sinners most likely refers to the practice and lifestyle of sinners. And you may say of someone's life, that's just the way that they choose to live their life. That's how we use that word. It means a lifestyle. Sinners are not people who habitually trespass against others and against our people who habitually trespass against God and against other people. And the reason why they do this is because they have a high regard for their own rights, preferences, and comforts, and too little of the rights of others. Now we move on to sitting in the seat of the scornful. If a person is sitting in the seat of the scornful, or scornful means mockers, then this person is in charge of the mockers. And that is those who ridicule holy things. If a person starts on the path listening to the ungodly, that person will eventually join their ranks and become one of the people Psalm 1 warns readers to avoid. Most of us probably know people who used to live for God and worship him right alongside us in church. But today, if you speak to them, they have nothing but criticism for the church and for the things of God. That's because they are now sitting in the seat of the scornful. In the ancient world, the reason why the psalmist wrote this way, in the ancient world, chairs were not common. Meals were usually shared while sitting in a reclining position on the floor. Chairs were considered a luxury. And the only people who generally sat in chairs were rulers. They were in charge. In the Bible, God is almost always said to be sitting upon a throne while the angels are standing, and never sitting in his presence, because he is in charge. So we see in Psalm, in verse 1, it says, walketh, standeth, and sitteth are the three main verbs of verse 1. Notice the progression. They go from walking in the counsel of the ungodly to standing in the way of the sinner, and then sitting in the seat of the scornful. It always starts somewhere. It starts by us listening to the wrong voices. The counselor that does not have Jesus at the center of his life is the one that requires careful listening to. We need to listen to people who are more concerned about us drawing closer to Jesus than anyone or anything else. Those are the people that we need to pay attention to, because getting closer to Jesus means to hear his voice, so that we are able to discern right from wrong and truth from error. God knows what is best for us. Be careful of advice from ungodly people who, for example, would say things such as, well, you know, this promotion, this next step will change your life. If you were just to move here, your life would be so much better. And they may also say, I think this is the best opportunity for you and your family. Now, there are well-meaning people and professionals who can help us. But we need to take everything to God in prayer and wait for his answer. The old song that's entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We've got to make sure that we're taking everything to God in prayer. God is the only one who knows what he has in store for our future. So he's the only one who knows the exact path that we need to take in order to get there. Receive his counsel in prayer. Receive his counsel in the word, and receive his counsel through fasting, and receive his counsel through godly men and women of God. God's only ulterior motive is to have us live a godly life for him. There are many children of God who have taken the counsel of the ungodly only to find themselves succeeding and achieving their life's goal, while simultaneously losing out with God and their family only to be left broken and destitute. We cannot afford and we should not go in that direction. So who is the blessed person? The blessed person, as it was mentioned before, the blessed person has the affection and attention of the Lord. And here is why. Because they meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Not just when that person is in trouble. Not just when they need a blessing. Not just when we come to church. The just person delights in the law of the Lord, meditates on his word. The just person has made the focus of their affection and attention Jesus Christ and his word. They're not distracted by the requirements of the law and the commandments and the statutes of God. There's so many people that when they come to church and they feel good and they feel the power of God and they feel his spirit, but once they start to hear about the commandments, when they start to hear about the laws, once they start to hear about the statutes, they immediately interpret that to mean I can do this and I can't do that. And that is an absolute misinterpretation of what God is trying to do, of what the Bible is trying, how the Bible is trying to instruct us. It's never about the do's. It's never about the don'ts. There are some things in his word that we don't have a clear understanding of. But now we see through a glass darkly, as the Bible says. And face to face, we will see clearly what God has in store for us. I would rather live a godly life with the hidden mysteries of God that will be revealed in heaven than with the deception of the devil that will be revealed in hell. The only way that we are able to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night is to know his word. We need to desire and treasure the word of God. There are so many other things battling for our attention, but we must find a way in our day to read the word of God. If you're not battling with family, you're battling with work. You can barely remember what happened the day before, barely remember what the message that was preached this past Sunday, barely remember much less what was spoken about last week, Wednesday night. And before you know, we get so busy and everything is clawing for our attention. And before you know it, if we're not in the word of God, if we're not meditating on his word, if we're not making time for his word every day, we can begin to, our heart just, we can begin to just start to want other things and desire other things. There's so many things that battle for our attention, but we must find a way in our day to allow the word of God to capture our thoughts and get into our hearts. It's not easy to read and know his word because of our... It's so easy to read the word of God because of our freedoms. It's so... Information is so available to us every day. I mean, if you can go, if you're like me, a lot of times, you'll pick up your phone and you'll say something, you'll do something like this. If it works for me. Hey, Google, what does the Bible say about the way of the ungodly?
According to Bible, King James Version, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
So easy to get to the word of God. Anytime during our day, just pick up your phone. A question comes to your mind. This is not something where we just read the word because we're forcing ourselves to. It's something that if something comes to our mind, something comes to our heart, we can just, it's so technology is right there. We could just pick it up and say, hey, what does the Bible say about this? What does the word of God say about this? I want to know more about the, that's how desperate we have to be. That's how we have to meditate on the law of the Lord. That's how much we have to desire his word. Don't just let it go, but open the word of God and read it. And when you get in there, read the chapter, read it in its context, and study the word of God to hear what he says. Anytime, day or night, it is easy for us to learn more about him all day long. If you, years ago, you would have to get your Bible with the concordance, try to find a key word, go look in a scripture. Maybe that's that word wasn't found in the concordance, so you'd have to find another key, try to figure out another key word that was in there. Then you'd have to open a Bible, page through the whole thing, go through it. Now technology is right at our fingertips, and we could just find it's so easy to witness to someone with the word of God. Anytime, day or night. The slightest effort will pay dividends. The more we diligently seek God, we will find out more about him. Each of us are given 24 hours in each day. I wish it was more like 34 because it's never enough for me. Regardless of our schedule, we need to find quality time to spend in the Word of God. By meditating on His Word, we are able to see life through a higher point of view. You may ask, how do I treasure the Word of God? Well, set aside that time for it. And spend time in it. Our time is our greatest natural treasure. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if we practice the law of the Lord enough, this practice will become habit. Once it is a habit, we will find that the habit becomes comfort or delight in and of itself. What if we substituted the words law, statutes, and commandments with blessing? Then I think Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, or verses 1 and 2 at least, where it says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the blessings of the Lord. And in his blessings, he meditates day and night. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Well, what if it said the blessing of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. The blessings of the Lord are right and rejoicing the heart. The blessing of the Lord is pure, enlightening the heart. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. See, the laws and the statutes and the commandments of God are not just about doing this and not doing that. They are to help us, they are to lead us, they are to protect us, and they also warn us about life. God, he gives them to us. Not for us to be shackled to some way of doing things, but for us to have the freedom to walk in him and be blessed by him. That is what the laws of the Lord are. His laws, his statutes, and his commandments really are blessings. They keep and protect us from evil. They draw us closer to God. Psalm 1 verse 3 says, he is like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. This is the godly, the righteous, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Now, that seems like one of those impossible promises. The godly person prospers regardless of the season. Don't be deceived into thinking that success only equals material blessings. That's the world's. That's what the world says that blessings are. And unfortunately, so many people, even children of God, are so confused that if I get this and I get that, if I have this or I have that, that means I'm blessed. That's not what the Bible, that's not who the Bible calls blessed. The drug lord who has houses, lands, cars, and planes is not blessed. He just worked hard for his money, although illegally. The Wall Street banker who has made their fortune in the market is not necessarily blessed by biblical standards. They just know how to play the game, and they just know how to game the system quite well. Jesus told a parable of a rich man who became wealthier through his hard work, but all he desired to do was accumulate more. Luke chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, these are the words of Jesus telling this parable. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Needless to say, God is not impressed by the wealth that people have. But God is not against the wealthy. He's not against riches. He's not against material blessings. Because in contrast, God blessed Solomon with riches and honor because he sought the Lord for wisdom and understanding. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 through 13 says, behold, this is after Solomon has prayed, he's been anointed king, and he's now prayed to the Lord and asked him to give him wisdom. And this is what the Bible says in verse 12, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, because that's what Solomon asked for, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. What Solomon did was go to God and say, God, I want wisdom. I want understanding. Those were his priorities. He never asked God for material blessings. He never said, God, give me this, give me that. And God answered his prayer and said, Solomon, I'm so impressed by the things that you asked for, that I'm going to give you what you did not even ask for. I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to give you honor. God has blessings for each and every one of us. Those blessings are going to show up in different ways. They might show up financially. It may show up materially. And it may show up in a host of other ways. But God will always bless his people. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you know what will be added to us? Everything that we need and more according to the will of God. That's what's going to be added to each and every one of us. To abide in God is to successfully abide in God and living for God is to be successful in having the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives and allowing the gifts of the Spirit to manifest themselves in our lives. And when we meditate on His word day and night, He will lead us and He will guide us. We will bear fruit in the season appointed by God. The impressive thing about what the word of God says about the tree that is planted by rivers of water, and it will bear fruit in its season. Sometimes we get confused that if I'm not doing this, or if God hasn't done this, or if He hasn't done that, what is my purpose? But the word of God says it will bear fruit in its season. So if it's not bearing fruit, what we should be doing, if we're not bearing fruit, if we haven't received direction from the Lord as to where you want us to go and what you want us to do, that's a time that we take to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His word day and night. And in the season that He has appointed, then we will bear fruit. And then we will be able to be a blessing to others. Resist the urge to compare yourself to others, to match where they are in God. If we delight in His law and think on His word, He will make your way, He will make our way prosperous. The ups and the downs that accompany every human life will not hold us hostage. While other people are depending on perfect conditions for happiness, our happiness springs from another source, an eternal source. We will bring forth fruit when it is our time and be content to let such a season come in God's time. See, we all go through seasons in life. God takes us through different places. Sometimes, see, we're not doing the things that we desire to be doing. Maybe sometimes we're not even doing the things that God promised that He would have us to do. But there's a reason for that, because He wants us to get really close. He wants to speak to our hearts. He wants us to draw really, really close to Him. Because there will come a season in life where He will bless you. He will provide. He will do what He has promised. God is not a man that He should lie. He doesn't lie. If He has promised you, He will do it. We just have to wait on Him and trust in Him. And don't look at the brother or sister across the church. And I've been there, going through dry seasons in my life and looking at everybody else getting blessed and saying, God, did you forget about me? Where are you? What am I supposed to do? Or do you even love me anymore? What is my purpose in life? But we have to realize that we go through seasons in life, and God will take us through that season. He just wants us to get into His word, love Him day and night, meditate on His law, get into His word, seek His face. Sometimes you have to draw away from family. Sometimes you have to draw away from friends for a season. And sometimes you just have to get with God and let Him take care of you, because we will not always have the time in our lives to take the time to study the word of God. That you may be going through a season when you can take hours at a time to get into the word of God. And then there may be a later season in life where you might not have hours at a time. You may just have minutes at a time because of the pressures of life. But that's when we need to take advantage of every season that we're going through. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. But the ungodly, they're different. Like the chaff the wind blows, drives away, the ungodly are like the chaff that is blown away by the wind. Chaff is the husk of grain, and grass is separated from the seed in threshing. Sometimes worthless, something that is worthless. When the farmer uses a pitchfork full of wheat and tosses it into the air on a windy day, windy autumn day, the chaff is blown away, but the wheat falls straight to the ground. The chaff or ungodly can only survive when conditions are perfect. And when the wind begins to blow, they will be carried away because they are controlled by the forces of life. The wind acts as the judgment of God that separates the wheat from the chaff. Only those who delight themselves in the law of the Lord can stand up to God's judgment. God's judgments are not only for the end time. He meets out judgment every day in our world. Every day he meets out judgment to those who don't delight in his law and meditate on him. The blessed person lives their lives within larger horizons, although the blessed one will not always feel happy, but they will always live their life drawing on the things of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." However, the blessed one is never trapped in the prison of the present, fearing that what is happening right now is forever. For the present misfortune that they're going through in his life is final. Being blessed means living life in the light of eternity rather than by the dim lamps of the worldly mind. That's who the blessed is. The blessed is the one that meditates on the law of the Lord and delights in his law, meditates on his word. And in closing, as I read this chapter and I was studying this lesson to teach it tonight, I believe that the Lord impressed something on my heart with regard to the structure, the unique structure of Psalm 1 through 6. This chapter is practically separated 50-50 regarding the godly and the ungodly. The first verse sets the stage for who the godly and the ungodly are and are not. If they would put up Psalm 1. Verse 2 and 3 highlights who the godly person is. Verse 4 and verse 5 identifies and speaks of the plight of the ungodly. The final verse 6 is once again split, the righteous as opposed to the ungodly. It's like the Lord placed this scripture, these verses, this chapter. I know it wasn't written this way, verse by verse, but Psalm 1 is basically almost spit down the middle. It's like God has given us two choices, righteousness or ungodliness. There is no in-between. There is no ambiguity. Just like the rest of scripture, it's either good or evil, light or darkness, righteousness and the unrighteous, godly and the ungodly. God inspired the psalmist to write it out plain and clear. Just this chapter was not credited to any particular psalmist, such as David or Asaph or the sons of Korah or Solomon or Moses. It's anonymous, although Bible scholars will likely give David credit for writing it. But in this psalm, God has set the rules of life. This beautiful, poetic, musical, and praise-filled book of Psalms. It is also the largest book in the Bible and probably the most read. It covers the ups and downs of life, war and peace, jubilation, and many other issues. But God has revealed to us in this chapter who the blessed person really is. It's like, you know, you get to the book of Psalms, if you're reading the Bible from the beginning, when you get into Psalm and you read Psalm 1, it's like there's a pause that says, let's pause here for a moment before you go on and let's think about what the previous books in the Bible said. Let me tell you what this is about. It's about the godly. It's about the ungodly. It's about those who meditate on my law. It's about those who delight in my law. It's about those who are always thinking about me and always meditating on me. In these six verses, God makes a short and compelling statement of fact. It's all about a choice to live godly and ungodly. And as we stand tonight, many of us have made the choice. Many have made the choice to live godly, and we've chosen to live for God. And if we don't make the choice, we understand what the implications are for not making the choice to live godly. But I would just repeat tonight that the blessed of the Lord is not the one who has the most. The blessed of the Lord is those that delight in the law of the Lord and those that meditate on his law day and night. I'll never forget hearing a preacher many years ago preach a word that many people in this congregation would be familiar with. And he changed my thinking by this simple, this is the only thing I remember from his message. But he said we need to filter life through the word of God. Whatever is happening in your life, go to the word of God and filter your life through the word of God. Let the chaff blow away and let the things of God, what is right, what is of God, let that remain. Filter your life through the word of God. Love his word, desire his word. As we come forward tonight, desire his word. Love his word. Lord, I need to love you more. I want to desire your word more. Help me to meditate on it. Help me not to allow other things to distract me away from the things of God and from the word of God. But help me, Lord, to live the way of righteousness and holiness, Lord. Jesus, we need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. We need your word. We need you to desire you more than anything else, oh God. Oh, this is not the time for us to be caught up in the things of this world. But oh God, help me to be caught up in the things of God. Help me to be caught up in your word. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Take my